We've been studying in the New Testament, and we worked our way through 1 John and 2 John and 3 John. And before we get to Jude and Revelation, remember those epistles written by John were to teach us the importance of true fellowship with the Father and with the Son. And he's writing that our joy would be full in the fellowship. And he talked it a few times, just briefly, as he was talking about the importance of true fellowship, of being in the Lord Jesus Christ, remembering if we do sin to confess our sins, to get our slate clean and to keep going, we need to be cleaned up. Jesus said, got to wash your feet every day. He talked about the importance of truth and love. And love is wrapped in the truth. God's love, a river of God's love, has the banks of truth, and it doesn't overflow the banks of truth. If you want to enter into God's love, you've got to come down the banks of his truth. It's just that simple. You can't stand on the sideline and think you're in God's love. You must come through truth to love. And beyond that, the desire that God has once we've been a child of God is that we would grow, little children, we would grow into young men. We would grow from young men into fathers and mothers in the faith. And one of the concerns that John had, both in the first epistle, where he said, you know, I want you to abide in him, that when he appears, you will not be ashamed before him at his coming. And then turn to 2 John. We have a little message here today, a practical message coming out of these epistles. And the first one I heard give it was in Sydney, Australia, Pastor Lyndon Young. And I have his outline here, and I put some additional notes to it because I just think it's very good and practical. In the second epistle of 2 John, he was talking about loving all those that have known the truth, end of verse 1. Verse 2, the truth's sake, it dwells in us. It shall be with us forever. Verse 4, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in the truth. And verse 6, this is love, that we walk in the truth. That's his commandments. That's the truth. And one of the things he was concerned about as he's writing this second epistle to the elect lady, which probably was Mary at the time, because John was given the care of Mary, and Mary was in Ephesus, and they had the church there, and he wanted them to continue in the truth. And telling the people at the church that are reading that epistle, verse 8, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we all receive a full reward. And what his concern was, here just briefly, and in the last epistle, about being ashamed before Jesus at his coming, is that we may lose some precious things along the way. We're supposed to, we've gone through the straight gate and we're on the narrow way, and his concern is we might lose some precious things along the way. And Pastor Young here put seven things together in an alliterated form. And how are the ways that we lose precious things? Well, the first way, he said, is through just carelessness. Just neglecting our role in God's work at the local church. Because Jesus did say, I would build my church. And I know that in the 20th century it became a big thing. Yeah, the universal church. I'm part of the universal church. Jesus was building local churches. You read the book of Acts, and they started a church here in Antioch, and they started a church over here in Ephesus, and they started a church over here in Corinth, and the local bodies coming together with the Word of God being a candlestick of light to a community. That's the local church. That's where Christ is working, in the local church. He's not working in the universal church with individual light bulbs or glittery bulbs. He's bringing them together into a candlestick. And carelessness of our neglect of the role in the local church where God is working with us. Let me show you some. Go to Isaiah chapter 32. Examples from the church in the wilderness, which was Israel, And the New Testament local church, the assemblies of the believers in God, the true God, the God of Scriptures. Chapter 32 of Isaiah. And in here we're looking at verse 9 and 10. Rise up, ye women that are at ease. Hear my voice, ye careless daughters. Give ear unto my speech. Many days and years shall ye be troubled, ye careless women. For the vintage shall fail, and the gathering shall not come. Tremble, ye women that are at ease. Be troubled. The carelessness, a reproof that God is giving of just not putting any priority on the work that God is doing. Here he was talking to the Jewish women in Israel, and they had stopped raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And he's saying the vintage is going to fail. I mean, these are going to become sour grapes. They're not going to have the fruit of God's Spirit in them. Go to Isaiah 47. We'll see there's a reproof and then there's a correction given in the Scriptures for carelessness. But first the reproof for the carelessness. Isaiah 47, verse 8. What are the reasons why people can be careless? Verse 8, hear this now, thou that art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly. See, one of the problems that happens when we become lovers of pleasure, we stop caring about the precious work that God is doing. God is trying to do a precious work. I mean, you look at your community. How many people are being born annually? These children, these people need to know the truth about God. One of the saddest things is you can talk to just about anybody. They're clueless about truth and God and the gospel. And you have to wonder, honestly, how long does it take to learn the truth about God and the gospel? What is it, about 1 hour of just sitting still and listening? The amount of time that you can watch the pilot episode of a new show that you want to see, you could spend listening to the truth of God's Word and knowing about the Creator that created the heaven and the earth and the Redeemer that came to solve the problem of sin that we're all struggling with. It's right there. It's very simple. And pleasure has kept people. And he's saying you're going to lose precious things through the carelessness of knowing that God today is working with his people to reach out to others. He said, hear this now, ye that are given to pleasures, that are dwelling carelessly. What's going to happen, verse 9, is two things will come upon thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of thy children and widowhood. It may not be physical, but one day spiritually, you'll watch your own children be cast away into a lake of fire because you as a parent didn't tell them. Carelessness is one of the ways we lose the precious things. Now, God has a correction for it. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. In the first epistle, Paul had heard of some problems going on in the local church that he had helped to found. And there were divisions and strifes and factions and envies. And there was some very bad sin going on in the church. And Paul had to write unto them a rough letter of reproof and rebuke. And he says this, verse 8, though I made you sorry with a letter. I mean, I know the first Corinthians is kind of a rough epistle. I do not repent, although I did, you know, maybe repent momentarily. I wish I hadn't written it, but God said, no, you did the right thing. You did the right thing. I perceive that the same epistle that hath made you sorry, though it were for a season, but now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but as you read that epistle, the word of God, you sorrowed to repentance. and you decided, you know, I'm going the wrong way, I better turn back to God. You were made sorry after a godly manner. And the way to fix carelessness is to read the words of God. That's what he's showing them there. Skipping down verse 12, Wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for the cause of the one that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that suffered the wrong, but I wrote this Bible to you, this epistle, that our care, God had given us ministers, for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. And this book is given to you that you read and you're not careless anymore. And not only that, I gave this to you so that you could strengthen that local church. Carelessness causes us to lose things. Children, if you ever notice, they're careless and they misplace things. Mom, I lost this. I can't find this. I can't find that. I mean, what happened? I misplaced it. It happens all the time with children. We got born again. We became children of God. It's a new birth. And we're childlike. And we get careless about things. And Paul's saying, don't do this. How much do you value God's work and God's work at the local church? The word and the work at the local church. Don't be careless about it. Or, when the Lord shows up, you may find yourself ashamed at his coming. And saying, you know, I placed you in a good local church, and were you actively involved in building it up and bringing people to it so they could hear my word? There's lost souls out there. Carelessness. Another thing, so the second thing that happens, go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Carelessness is a problem that might cause us to lose something. Another thing that will cause us to lose something might be, well, he calls it, conflicts, fightings, conflicts. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul says in verse 11, thou, O man of God, or thou, O woman of God, flee these things. Verse 10, the love of money, which will become the root of evil, which if you covet after, you're going to err from the faith, and you'll pierce yourself through with many sorrows. One of the reasons why is if you love money, you'll do extra things for money. You'll get tricked into people that want to take advantage of you. You can't trap a guy with any kind of a pyramid scheme or some type of get rich quick if he's not interested in money. It's the love of money that becomes a root of evil in the child of God. And so watch out for that. Verse 11, O man of God, woman of God, flee these things. Instead, follow after righteousness, godliness. Follow after faith, after love, after patience, after meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Now, there are good fights and bad fights. It's bad when we fight with one another. It's good when we fight within ourselves against the evils of this world. That's a good fight. Keeping away from the things, that's a conflict I can take. What God doesn't want is conflict and contention and strife in a church. That's exactly what Paul was running into in the first epistle of the Corinthians in chapter 1, where he says, I beseech you, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you be perfectly joined together, that there be no divisions among you. I've heard from Chloe that there are contentions. And there's strife, and there's fighting. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And one of the things that's going to cause us to lose the precious things. You know, if you confess the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Apostle Paul says that is the foundation of your faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Other foundation can no man lay than that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. And now that you've taken that first step and you've gotten on the rock, God wants you to build up your most holy faith on this foundation, gold and silver and precious stones, not wood, hay, or stubble. And gold and silver and precious stones in the Bible is building up. The gold is the Word of God. The silver is the gospel of Christ. And the precious stones are the brand new precious stones that you're able to bring to the faith. on their own. They're little black, dark stones with sin out there. But as they're brought through the blood of Christ, God makes them a precious stone. You're going to be in your crown one day as souls that you've brought to the Lord. And God wants you to do it. He doesn't want you to have conflict. In the beginning of the chapter, his problem was, go same chapter 3, verse 1, brethren, I couldn't speak to you as spiritual. You're not building on your most holy faith. You're not putting gold and silver and precious stones on it. You're putting wood, hay, and stubble. All the stuff that comes from the earth, earthy things, arguments. You're carnal. You're like babies. How do I know? Verse 3. How do I know you're carnal? Well, there's envy. There's strife. There's division. Are you not carnal and walk as men? Didn't you have that at the workplace? Didn't you find that at the public school you went to? Don't you find that in your own family with all the unsaved members and the aunts and the uncles fighting? Isn't that what the natural man does? One of the ways you lose precious things is if you fall back to the natural state of the wood, hay, and stubble, and you fight. Fighting the good fight of faith, that's good. So here it is. Somebody does something to you, your natural man is to respond, you want to fight this way. The new man is, I've got to fight that urge inside of me and not do it that way. I've got to fight the good fight of faith and follow on with faith and follow on with love and do like the Apostle Paul did. Fightings within, but not fightings without. That's a conflict I can take on the inside, not on the outside. We were saying before, our first reaction is usually the wrong one. It's the natural reaction. You have to wait on God for the supernatural and the proper reaction. God doesn't want us to lose precious things. As we do that, as we begin to behave as the world, and we abandon the gold of God's word and the silver of redemption, and we're no longer trying to bring people to the Lord, all we have is wood, hay, and stubble, we're going to be ashamed at his coming. And we're losing the precious rewards he wants to give us. Another thing that causes us to lose precious things, go to Romans chapter 12. You got carelessness, you got conflict. Here's another thing that will affect us. Now, I've got an old car in my garage that I got to get into Martin's hands or somebody's hands. Because if it sits there much longer, it's not going to work. Engines aren't meant to sit. What happens to them is they rust, they see corrosion. Corrosion from lack of use. They're just sitting there and rusting away. They're not being used. Okay. Same in the spiritual realm. In Romans 12, Paul is trying to explain to us in verse 4, we have many members in the one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ at the local church. Every one of us, we're members one of another. And here's what God gave us. He gave us gifts, differing according to the grace that has been given to us. Some of us have the gift of prophecy, so let us do that according to the proportion of faith we've been given. Some of us have the gift of ministry, and we're good with taking care of little kids and maybe a Sunday school, or maybe ministering and teaching or singing. Some of us are teaching. Some with exhortation, like Brother Mark, and he exhorts us. Some with giving. We'll do that with simplicity. If you're a ruler, do it with diligence and show mercy and do it with cheerfulness. These gifts have been given by us. And here is, if we don't discover and use the gift God gave us, it'll be like that car sitting in my garage out there. It's going to, one day I'm going to put the key in and it's not going to start. It's just going to have corroded and rusted away. We've got to ask God, what is the gift he's given us, and begin to use it. And one of the ways it will manifest is here at the local assembly. People will see, oh, you're good at that. Okay, do it, brother. Go ahead. Keep on with that thing. You're good at the track ministry. Oh, you're good on the streets. Okay, you're good cleaning up the building here. Oh, you're good in the kitchen. I mean, these are things building the local church as we're all working together. Stay at it. But don't let it corrode, or we'll lose the reward that God wants to give us one day. I was going to give you the gift. I was going to multiply the reward based on the gift. And you just stuck it off in the corner, didn't use it. Corrosion is one of the ways it'll happen. Another way that we lose precious things, and this happens more often, is confusion. Confusion. Now, boy, we're living at a time of great confusion. Now, remember, God is not the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. The confusion that I see today is confusion regarding what is my place in the body of Christ. And this is what you have to ask the Lord. And you have to stay at the things that are simple and faithful. Every morning you're going to read a little Bible, or whenever your Bible reading time is. You're going to spend a little time in the Word of God every day. Spend a little time in prayer every day. And every week you're going to spend a little time with the brethren, iron sharpening iron, and being built up together on your most holy faith. And as you do that, God begins to reveal those things. When I first, you know, got saved, I just went to church every Sunday. Then somebody said they have Wednesday night service. I went every Wednesday. And then I found out there was a Bible study. Okay, I go to the Bible study. And then somebody asked me to do something. And one of the things they asked me to do was, I can't lead Bible study next week. Would you do it? So I did it. And then people said, hey, you're good at that. And so then, because I was with God's people, I began to learn, oh, maybe this is my gift, is teaching. And that's what I began to do. And it was affirmed, and the brethren will show you. That's what you, and little by little you discover and you use that gift, and yet I wasn't confused about it anymore. That's my place. Now, the confusion that happens today is a lot of confusion of doctrine. As John was writing his epistle, he said, I rejoice when I see my children walking in the truth. And you have to remember, if you're not in the doctrine of Christ, you don't have the Father and the Son. Doctrine is vital. And one of the problems we've had in churches for the past 100 years is there's been a loss of doctrine. And a loss of doctrine leads to confusion. And confusion leads to, I don't know which way to go. And my direction is lost. My balance is lost. I'm not walking with the Lord anymore. I'm stumbling. I'm falling down. Now, God's got good news in Proverbs. Though a righteous man falls 7 times, God will pick him up. But you've got to turn back to God. It's a turning back to God. So confusion is a real problem. Go to Matthew chapter 7. The main source of confusion in the last 100 years is the counterfeit Bibles. And people reading words that actually are not God's words. And so I'm not sure, what does yours say? What does yours say? That's confusion. There's no question as to what God said. God wrote one pure and perfect Bible. There is no controversy in heaven about that. The controversy is on planet Earth. There's one Bible settled in heaven. There's no question about it. Christian, I'm sorry you've been lied to. I was lied to at the first church I went to. I was lied to at the second church I went to. My Father did not lie to me. And He made it plain and clear to me. And you as a Christian can know. And if you don't, it's because you don't care to know. That's carelessness. And that's how you're going to lose some precious things. So the confusion can end right there. You get the right book. You get the right book. You start spending time in the book. You believe your Father gave you a book. Not a scholar. Your Father gave it to you. God help them, please. There's little time left. You're going to be back. There's going to be a lot of ashamed Christians standing before the Lord next year. No need for it. Say, it's too late. It's never too late. You do what's right. Did He not tell Cain, if thou doest right, shall thou not be accepted? Get the Cain ways out of you. Get out of Canaan. Get Cain out of you and get to the right way. Matthew chapter 7. I'm not sure what Bible. That's easy. I just told you it's King James. So skip it and move on. I'm not sure what my gift is. Here's what Jesus says. Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Why is that, Jesus? For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. What man of you, if a son ask him bread, you're going to give him a stone? You ask your father for the perfect Bible, the AV-1611. You're going to put an NIV in your hand? He's not going to do that. He's not going to give you a stony, dead book. If he asks for a fish, he's going to give you a serpent. Gee, Father, today I'd like to go out. I'd like to find a good soul that I can save. No, let me send you to the devil's nest and let him tear you up. No. I want to guide you to a soul that needs salvation. Your father knows how to work with you. Okay, so confusion is a way that we lose some of the rewards that God wants to give us one day. Carelessness, conflict, corrosion, not using our gift, confusion. Another way, go to Acts chapter 28. This is a very sad chapter in Acts. Because Paul is pleading with them, beseeching them, begging. Paul says, I'd be accursed for my brethren's sake, the Jews. I'm an Israelite indeed. I want my brethren to know the truth. And in the 28th chapter, he finally comes and he gets, at the end of the 20th chapter, he gets an opportunity to speak with the Jews in Rome. And when he finally gets together with them, verse 23, when they appointed to him a day, okay, we'll listen to you, Paul, there came many to him, Jewish men, into his lodging, to whom he then expounded and he testified the kingdom of God as opposed to the kingdom of heaven, which is what the Jews had in the Old Testament. The kingdom of God is the new work God's doing. He persuaded them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning to evening, showing here's pictures of Jesus in Exodus. Here's a picture of Jesus in Numbers. Here he is in the Psalms. Here's David talking about it. Just showing how God has been preparing them for the coming of the Christ. Verse 24, and some believed, and some believed not the things which were spoken. And I'm not going to believe. Why? I've been religious my whole life. I was born an Orthodox Jew. I'm going to die an Orthodox Jew. Today, if I was born a Catholic, I'll die a Catholic. And you're embracing religion rather than the hem of the garment of Jesus Christ. And religion is just a bunch of bricks and mortar and buildings and traditions. And Jesus Christ is the living Savior. Grab onto life. And verse 25, when they agreed not among themselves, they departed. And after that, Paul spoke one word, quoted from Isaiah. Well spake the Holy Ghost by Esaias the prophet unto our fathers, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing ye shall hear and ye shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see. You'll look at the words on the page and not perceive. Why is this? For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed. Not God. They don't want the truth. This is contempt. There's a reason you'll lose contempt of God's word. I'm not interested in God's word. The these and the thous, they bother me. I don't want to hear it. You're going to take contempt on the word of God? I can assure you, you're going to lose some precious things when you stand before Him next year at the judgment seat of Christ. And time is drawing nigh, folks. And practical truth, go to Isaiah chapter 6. Actually, he's quoting from there. I don't know that you need to go there. Go to Matthew 13 better. Let me listen to what Jesus says. Because that was a problem they had in Israel. There's a problem they have with the Jews in the New Testament. That's a problem they have in the church today. I'm always stunned. Christians are not interested in the Word of God. I don't get it. I love this book. How can you not love this book? Are there any lovers of this book in this room? Please, please. I mean, you just, while you read this book, this authorized version of the Bible, and it's just amazing. It takes you to another plane, just lifts you off the earthly plane and takes you to the spiritual plane. I did find thy words, and they were the joy and the rejoicing of my heart, said Jeremiah. And that ain't no NIV or New American Standard. That's God's book. Jesus, Matthew chapter 13, verse 10. the disciples came to him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables? Why do you speak in a language of English that we're not familiar with?" By the way, this is not common. The Authorized Version English is not common to the books you read. It's not common to your magazines. It's not common to what you hear on the television. It's a different type of English, if you've noticed. Okay? Because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. I'm spiritualizing the passage for you so you understand. You've got to enter into it and ask God and knock, and God shows you. And to those that want, it's given. Verse 12, "Whosoever to him shall be given, and he'll have more in abundance." And I'm afraid of this book. You start to enter into this book. You start to read this book. You start to pray over this book, and God begins to open it up and open it up and open it every time. I mean, it's just amazing. I'm walking the other day toward the staircase on the second floor, and God showed me something from the book of Genesis I never saw before in the fifth chapter. And I must have read that 200, 300 times. I've read those passages. And there's still more stuff. I'll share it with you sometime. Just, wow. Yeah, in abundance. Just pouring new things on constantly. I found one yesterday. I was doing a word study. I showed my wife. It's a good one for you to do. Get a computer and take these two words. Take the word covenant and then take the word God and see how many times they occur in the same verse and see where they occur. And Mark, check the only time it find in the book of Exodus. Pretty interesting. Mike, there's so much in this book. This is a treasure chest of wisdom. And whosoever hath, to him shall be given. That means you too. One of his children, and you'll have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, you've got no interest in it, for him shall be taken away even that he hath. You talk with these Christians that have the wrong Bible, I think they still know they're saved, I think. But other than that, they don't know much at all. And they're just losing so much from not having God's Word. Therefore, I speak to them in parables. I wrote to them in a form of English they're not used to. The problem is, verse 15, their heart is wax gross. Their ears are dull of hearing. It's a very sad thing. And they have the confusion and they have the contempt to the Word of God. Contemning the words of God. Go to John chapter 12. And this is sadly what begins to happen if you allow this contempt to stay in you over and over and over. John chapter 12, verse 37, "Though Jesus had done many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him." And again, just trying to show us, miracles don't produce faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There was a miracle worker right before them that did miracles in their own family, probably healed their kids, put an arm back on their uncle. I mean, all kinds of things, and they didn't believe. It's the Word of God that you need. Verse 38, "That the saying of Isaiah the prophet, will be fulfilled when he said to the Lord, Lord, who hath believed our report? To whom hath the mighty arm of God's salvation of the Lord been revealed?" Watch this. They would not believe in verse 37. Verse 39, "Therefore they could not believe. Because Isaiah said again, then God hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart." And there's a point where you show enough contempt for God's Word. God says, as a child, I'm going to withhold. You know, when we were kids, I don't know if you remember, our parents weren't perfect when we were kids. I just want you to know that. And I had a good dad and good mom, but they weren't perfect. Your Father in heaven is perfect. So you can get some connection to your parents, and then there's a disconnect. But I remember when Christmas was coming, and in December, the kids get all excited, and, you know, we're asking questions and looking around for where the gifts are hidden and stuff like that. And we would be warned that if we were bad, we would get maybe coal in our stocking, that type of thing, for bad behavior. Look, our parents wanted to fill that stocking with precious things. My mom used to look carefully for stocking stuffers, and there were really good things in there. That's what your father wants to do with you, is to fill your, I don't know what you call, basket or sack with wonderful rewards when he meets you one day. Here's all the things that you can take into the kingdom with you. But when you have contempt for God's word, you're asking for an empty stocking, is what, unfortunately, what's going to happen. And that's what he's showing you here. He'll blind your eyes and say, look, I'm going to make sure that stocking is empty now. I mean, you've shown contempt for my word for decade after decade after decade after decade. I can't reward you. And John is saying, I don't want that to happen. I don't want you to lose these precious things. Don't have contempt for the word of God. Go to Romans 11. Carelessness, conflict, corrosion, confusion, contempt. I don't think contempt is really a problem with most people. But the next one is, and we'll see it in a minute. But Romans 11, just like another warning here. Verse 7, 11, 7. What then, if Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for? The reason he said, because they were trying to seek it by the works of the law rather than by the work of faith. And they thought more sacrifices and more tithing would do it for them. But the election hath obtained it because they were seeking it by faith. And the rest were blinded, as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber. And it's interesting, when someone has shown contempt for God's word over a long time, they actually don't like Bible study. Now, I don't know about you, I love Bible study. I love it. I'll go home and I'll put on a bunch of people today and I'll listen. And I just want to hear the words of God. When the word of God is, I just, whoa, what is that? I just pick right it up and I want to hear it. There's a Bible study going on, I'm in, deal me in, I'm in. There's something else going on, chicken dinner, I couldn't care less. A Bible study, I'm in. Deal me in. I love that. I just thought every child of God's like that. They're not. And I remember when we first got saved, you know, we got a big house over there in wherever we live, Loch Lee, and got a pool and an extra lot. And they all wanted to come do parties at my house from the church. So I said, fine, come do parties at my house for the church. And they'd all come in on Saturdays and Sundays for their parties. And I'd get right there at the kitchen table with the Bible. Who wants to do Bible study? Nobody. They wanted to swim. They wanted to play frisbee. They wanted to play basketball. They wanted to do anything. Even the pastor didn't want to do Bible study. That's right. Didn't want to do Bible study. He was there. Oh, no, I do enough during the week. I do enough during the week. You ask me to Bible study, I'm there. What's happening is God is closing eyes. I don't want that to happen to you. Anyways, ways to lose pride. Don't have contempt for God's word. If you do, would you just ask him to help you get over the contempt? Another problem that you're going to have, go to 2 Chronicles chapter 18. That'll cause people to lose rewards and precious things. Seven things. Carelessness, number one. Number two, conflict. Number three, corrosion, just unuse, not using it. Four, confusion. I'm not sure. Let me make you sure. It's the Word of God's King James Bible. Start getting into it and get rid of the rust and don't fight over this thing and don't be careless of it and don't have contempt for it. The next thing is 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse 1. Now, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, a good king, had riches and honor and abundance. And then he joined affinity with Ahab. Anybody know anything about King Ahab? Yeah, King Ahab, back in the book of 1 Kings, when he came on the scene, he did worse. He married Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him. He took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, that was a priest and served Baal and worshipped him, reared up an altar for Baal, made a grove in the house of the Lord. And here's Jehoshaphat joining affinity with Ahab. Compromise. Trying to meet in the middle ground with people that are enemies of God. There is no middle ground. We have nothing in common. We want to win you to the foundation of Jesus Christ. We've got nothing to share with you. Nothing. Well, we want you. We're going to have a big rally to fight abortion, and we're going to have a prayer meeting. God's not into the fight of abortion. God's into the good fight of faith of saving souls. No offense, you can abort all the kids you want. God's going to birth them again in the millennium. Okay? Now, that's a horrible thing, and I'm not saying you ought to do it, and we don't do it. But the battle is for souls above the age of accountability that are going to headed to a devil's hell and a lake of fire. And there's only one name under heaven given among men whereby they must be saved. And we're the ones that have that truth. And there's nothing to compromise with those people over. No compromise. A calling to repentance for them to come to the truth. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. God gives a warning of that. There's an example of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, this is, we've studied this before here. Every modern Bible is a Catholic Bible. Every single modern Bible has the approval of the Catholic Church. There's a priest on every translation committee, and they get the approval of the Vatican for that translation. Every modern Bible, you're looking at me like, I know what I'm talking about. I'll show you the evidence. Kevin, you got the evidence? Mark, you got the evidence? Now, many people have books of the evidence. Every modern Bible comes off of Catholic manuscripts. The Vaticanus, the Sinaiticus, and the Alexandrinicus, all Catholic Bibles, all approved by the Pope. I'm not compromising with that. I've got God's pure word. I don't want anything to do with something the Catholics approve of. God calls them the great whore, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. I want nothing to do. I got out of that mess. I was a Catholic. I've renounced Catholicism. I spit at it for the devil that it is. I don't want no compromise with it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Catholics are unbelievers in the gospel of Jesus Christ. How do I know? I was there for 39 years. I probably knew more Catholic doctrine than a lot of you put together. Because I'm a bright guy, so I'm able to memorize things quickly. And I was on my way to hell until someone brought me a Bible and told me to be born again. There is no agreement between born-again believers and Catholics. The only agreement we have amongst ourselves is we got to convert them or they're going to die in their sins like Mother Teresa. And every pope... I love that one movie, that guy, Doc Holliday, is that his name? Why, Johnny Ringo, looks like someone done walked over your grave. Why, Pope Johnny Paul, looks like someone done walked over your grave. And yeah, that's right, he's down there right now roasting and wondering what happened. That's what happens to Catholics that believe Catholic doctrine. They go to hell, because that's a doctrine from hell, that works can save you. It's not of works. Lest any man or priest or nun should boast. Nothing to yoke with unbelievers. I don't want their Bibles. I don't want their doctrine. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light? That's your Savior and His book. Thy word is a lamp. Thy word is light. And darkness, that's catechisms and other things. And in addition to the Catholics, you put the Muslims. And you can put every mainline Protestant denomination and every cult that came along in the 1800s and the 1900s, like Scientology. You can put them all in there, too. There is one truth, and there's a bunch of error. And that's what John was trying to say. And he doesn't want God's children to lose precious things because they've yoked up with unbelievers. be ye separate. Verse 15, what concord hath your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, with Belial? All those religions are of the devil. What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? That's someone who doesn't have the faith of the Bible. He might have other faith. That's no good. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Catholic Church got statues all over it. Ye are the temple of the living God. God hath said, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing. You don't want that Bible in your hands. Now, I admit, I got a bunch of them fake Bibles downstairs, and I will point out the errors in them once in a while. I don't read them. I don't look at them except to show you where they did something really stupid to convince you you shouldn't have them. They're written all over. Poison, leaven. I mean, don't read. Yeah. Go to 2 John, verse 10. Back to John the Apostle. Second John. No compromise. You think God, your Savior didn't compromise. Let me tell you, that night that he was praying in the Mount of Olives, that temptation to compromise that night, Father, for 3.5 years, I did all the miracles. I healed everybody you brought to me. I helped everybody. There are people who are healthier and wealthier today in Israel than when I showed up. I taught them the best stuff I could teach them. I gave them parables they never heard before. What do you say that's enough? Why don't I just compromise and I dart out of here right now? He went right to the end. He took the second mile all the way for you and for me. Verse 10, if there come any to you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. I'm telling you, you'll lose some precious things. Don't do it. And the last way, go to Luke chapter 14. Carelessness, neglecting our role in God's work for us. Conflict, fighting with the brethren, rather than fighting in ourselves and getting the problems out of us and learning how to get along with our brethren and to love one another. Corrosion, just not using it, letting day after day after day go without spending any time in God's word or prayer or fellowship. Confusion, not showing which word is God's, and not having God-centered worship. God's word will get you all that properly. Contempt, due to familiarity and compromise. And the last one, Luke chapter 14, verse 16. And Jesus said, a certain man made a great supper, and he bid many to come to his supper. Just like we're going to have right after here today, we're going to have a great lunch, and everyone's bid to come. And he sent his servant at supper time, and he said to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. I bought a piece of ground. I must needs go and see it. I pray, have me excused. Another said, I just bought 5 yoke of oxen. I just bought a brand new car. I got to get it tuned up. I got to go try it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I married a wife. Therefore, I cannot come. And you know what the problem is sometime? And it is true. The reality is most of us are members of a family, and as members of a family, the last C is commitments. We have commitments. There's no doubt about it that we have commitments. And what God's saying is you've got to make a priority. There are times to come. God says, come, spend some time with me in the Word today. Well, it's a busy day. Come on, God says. I gave you another 24 hours. I just gave you the gift of another day. I put the breath in you. I put the new life in you. I've given you everything. Can you give me a few moments? Come. It's time to pray. It's a day of worship. Come. I'll be there, Jesus says. I'll be right in the midst of the candlestick. Would you come today? Don't let these commitments, you know, when you're working, we had a storm a couple of years ago, an ice storm, and it knocked a bunch of branches down from the trees, and there were sticks all over, and it was just a mess. It was a mess, and someone's got to clean it. So I kept trying to get her to do it, but someone's going to be me. I mean, I got to clean this thing up. And the thing is, where am I going to take this junk? Well, if you go down from my house, about three houses to the left, there's some people that are right next to a woody area, and there's acres of woods back there that nobody seems to care about, and the deer live there, and the foxes live there, and there's already branches falling there. So I carry the branches, I throw them over there in the woods, and then I'd come back and get some more. I'd take them and throw them over there with the other dead branches in the woods. What do I care? And I'm not going to leave them on my front lawn. So, but here's the thing, I'm out there and I'm trying to pick this up, and you know, there's only so many I can carry, and I'm looking and go, this is going to take about 40 trips. But if I can carry a whole bunch, it might take me just 10. And so one time I tried to carry a whole bunch, and I got partway down the street and dropped them all. And when you try and pick up too many things, you tend to drop stuff. And I had to learn, there's only so much I can do at a time. And I can't let commitments keep me from the precious things that God has for me. And so, back to where we are in John, 2 John. I rejoice greatly when I find my children walking in the truth. And this is true love, that you're walking in the truth after His commandments. And there are many deceivers in the world, but look to yourself, verse 8, that we lose not the things which we have wrought, that we receive a full reward. And let's not let carelessness, conflict, corrosion, confusion, contempt, compromise, commitments. What we want to hear one day is when the Lord comes back, we want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And He has many things. And let's redeem the time we have left. Father, we thank You for the good message that Pastor Young had as a blessing for us here. Just help us to try and give priority to the precious time You give us. Help us to redeem the time. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.